Each of the Sundays in Advent has a theme, and we've talked about hope and peace and joy. Today is the Sunday of love. This from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "You know the commandments. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, steal, bear false witness, defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these things I've observed from my youth." And Jesus looked upon him, loved him, and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." At that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round and told his disciples how hard it will be for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And his disciples were amazed. "It's easier," he said, "for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Well, I don't think very many people would pull that story out of the New Testament and say, "Hey, it's a love story, it's a Christmas story. Let's talk about that when we talk about Jesus' birth." Not really. It's often used, especially that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle part than a rich man to enter into heaven. It's often used to sort of scare people into giving more money to the church, as in, well, that'll get you closer to God, which is precisely the opposite of his point. Because embedded in that rather scary story, or at least one that's used to frighten people, Jesus looked upon him and loved him. And I sort of have Jesus saying, "Oh, you poor child, you have no idea." You know? Because he's saying, "Well, how do I work my way into heaven?" And Jesus said, "You can't. If you could, you would. But with God, all things are possible. Through love is where it goes." So it is a love story in that Jesus loved this misguided person that kind of wanted to get it done on his own and then learns he can't. Several years ago, a movie was made starring Dustin Hoffman and Susan Sarandon called Moonlight Mile. And they're a couple who'd been married for some time, sort of irascible kind of couple that sniped at each other a lot, and maybe in part because they had experienced a devastating loss of a child many years back. And in the context of all of this, in the context of explaining who they were, the character played by Dustin Hoffman says, "We are here to witness our lives, to witness our lives." Now, the word witness is much different than observe. Observe is to stand apart and watch. To witness is to enter in to the drama and pathos of whatever is. And I would suggest on this Sunday of love, the imperative from Jesus, who looked at this misguided person and loved him, is to witness to love, to witness to love. Well, when and how do we do that? Because a lot of our time isn't especially dramatic. It's not a run-up to a holiday season. How do we witness to love, first of all, in what I would call ordinary time, when things are just kind of as they always are? Garrison Keillor has this wonderful riff on the dog days of summer. And why not talk about the dog days of summer on the coldest day of the year so far, right? Imagine it's mid to late August in the Midwest, right? And Keillor's riff on this is twofold. One, that it's just flat out boring if you're a kid because there's nothing going on and school hasn't started. But secondly, it's this just sort of overwhelming moment in the summer when the tomatoes are in full force. And he says the only time people in the Midwest lock their car doors is during this time, because if you don't, people will stick another sack of tomatoes in your car, and you've got way more than you need. Well, in this moment of what passes for ordinary time, there's an extraordinary blessing. I don't know about you, but if I had five meals left to eat, a BLT and sweet corn would be one of them, right? And it's not just that fresh garden tomatoes are so wonderful in and of themselves. Embedded within them are the blessings to grow thousands more. So my suggestion is that in ordinary time, we can witness to love by examining beneath the ordinariness the miracles that are buried everywhere. The miracles of a tomato seed with enormous potential, or any, you know, sort of unseen and unthought about, but bring to your recollection in ordinary time the miracle of every moment. That is to witness, to love. Tomatoes. Secondly, I think there's a profound witness to love during times of transition, when some things have passed and things yet to be are largely unknown. There's this sort of tension and turmoil in times of transition. I don't know who put the bone in my head yesterday that activated and said, go Christmas shopping. Not only that, I realized I needed to get something on campus, and so I made a left turn at the wrong time to the wrong place and went right into the middle of commencement traffic. Oh, man. So it was an interesting observation, a moment of insight, however, because the commencement ceremony started when the weather outside was probably 55 or 60. But by the time I was in the middle of this whole thing, the front had gone through and it was freezing cold and the wind was really blowing. And people were running across the street of Indiana Avenue to the parking lot, and I noticed one graduate with his commencement robe open being helped, not helped, but being led across the street by his father with his arm around him. Let's go, we can get this. And I'm thinking commencement is a metaphor for all transitions, really. It's this paradox of already things have happened and not yet things yet to be. And in the middle of this, literally crossing the street, is this brand new graduate with who knows what's ahead of him. Maybe a job, maybe a first day at work in a month or so, who knows. But at that moment, literally crossing over to the other side of the street, his father's arm is around him and keeping him warm and bringing him through. That's how it goes. We witness to love in all forms of transition. Birth, education, marriage. That's another, you know, hey, mom, dad, we're getting married. Oh, great. Oh, great. Oh, my gosh, what's this going to mean, you know? So there's this already and not yet paradox in times of transition, which is precisely the message of Christmas. Many things have happened. Prophecies, stories. The Messiah will come. Now he's here, but now what? It is this already not yet paradox of life as it is, sustaining life as it will be, whatever it will be. And we witness to that love in times of transition in our own lives, which are sort of metaphoric to what has happened or is continuing to happen in the transition of our lives after Jesus was born. Witness to love with summer tomatoes and commencement. And finally, I think we witness to love with what I call anchors. Now, anchors can be people, they can be places, they can be things. These are things, people, or places that tie us to something sort of beyond ourselves and maybe even mysterious. I've got this box on my dresser that is designed to hold, pretty much only hold, the pocket trash that you end your day with, you know, the wallet and the keys and the pen and the coins and whatever else. And I've had it on my desk for some time, and it holds all that, but it holds, like, also has in it 150 or so other things. I was rummaging through it looking for something, and I found a credit card receipt from 4 years ago. What's up with that? And in looking for something else, I also found, and I hadn't seen it for some time, although I knew it was there, and if someone had said, go find this, I could, this ring. It's a ring that I almost never wear, and that was given to me probably 20 or 25 years ago by my father, who just out of the blue when I was visiting said, oh, by the way, I want you to have this, and he gave me this ring. And I said, well, what's the ring? And he said, well, that was my mother's ring. And it's sort of a unisex kind of a thing with some sapphires in it. I said, really? That was grandma's ring? Yeah. And he said, I wear it once in a while, but I want you to have it. And he didn't give me any reason for it. He just gave it to me. I said, well, okay. And my dad's side of the family, we're not estranged particularly. We just aren't terribly involved, you know? And so I have this anchor, I would call it, to my grandmother, with whom I had a cordial but extremely sporadic relationship. And you know, my cousins in my own little cohort, there are cousins that I have not seen in 40 years. I have an aunt, my dad's sister, I haven't seen since I was a child. And yet, if someone told me I couldn't have this anymore, I would miss it deeply. Not because it's so sentimentally important, but it anchors me to something that's very close to my identity. You know, my dad gave me this ring, and my grandmother named my dad, And I am named after him. Our first and middle names are just reversed. And of course, this ties me to the family name without which I don't know who I would be. So I cannot say that I have deep emotional feeling about this ring, but I will certainly say I have some attachment to it. And it sort of grounds me in a way that very little else in my life does, which means there's love in it somewhere. Because the opposite of love is no feeling. Any feeling at all helps us bear witness to love. Many of you know, some of you may not or wonder, there are two anchors, one at each door in this building. There's a little one right over there that you can see, and there's another one right there. They're prisms. They're little glass prisms. And they're there for a reason. They're there for the scientific reality that when a prism catches light, it splits it into its constitutive parts. You can make a rainbow with a prism. White light is the combination of all colors. I use this as an anchor and a metaphor when I preside at weddings. I tell couples that just as white light is the sum of all colors, love is the sum of all feelings. And not all of them tickle. And in times of transition, you kind of know that. So the point of the two anchors at the doorway is whatever you're feeling today belongs here, as do you. Because love is the combination of all feelings and emotions, and none of us would be, the church would not be the same without any one of us. Well, now that's an oft-told story in my own life and ministry. And until today, I've never connected it to this text, because the punchline to this text is Jesus addressing the question, well, it's impossible to get into heaven on your own, right? Which is the essence of our theology. And Jesus says, with God, all things are possible, which is the essence of his love story. With God, all things are possible. Love is the sum of all feelings, as well as the sum of all experiences, and leads us to the sum of all possibilities. And we witness to love when we find the miracle in the ordinary, when we are seen through the transitions by someone or something that kind of wraps us up and shields us from the cold and gets us across the street. And we most profoundly, I think, bear witness to the love because we are held fast to people, to places, to things, to each other, to this moment. We witness to love at Christmas when the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us.